And it's Tuesday, which means, of course, that it is time to ask the doctors. We have a lot to cover this week, from the still increasing presence of the Delta variant, which is now responsible for a quarter of all New England cases, to rising case numbers here in Massachusetts. Last week, we saw nearly a 30% uptick in confirmed cases over the prior week. Lots else, too. So if you have questions about the Delta variant, about vaccines, what to make of the recent uptick, this is your chance. Call with your questions, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So here with us this week to answer your questions, our questions, are Dr. Cassandra Pierre, acting hospital epidemiologist and an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, and Dr. Sharon Wright, chief infection prevention officer for Beth Israel Lahey Health. Dr. Pierre, Dr. Wright, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So I want to start with a very practical question. And Dr. Pierre, I think I'll turn to you. Do you have concerns that 4th of July travel and events will impact the infection rates in the next coming couple of weeks? Or are we here in the Commonwealth at a level of vaccination where we won't necessarily have to worry about such a spike?
I feel like we're always holding our breath after the holidays and there when there are opportunities for people to get together, to crowd together. You know, we have a couple of things on our side. As you mentioned, the great vaccination rates. We certainly would always want them to be higher, but relative to the rest of the country, we have a little bit of safety in numbers in terms of our good vaccination rate, in terms of people who have been eligible and have been fully vaccinated. We also have the season on our side in terms of the weather. People are congregating outdoors. We know that transmission of COVID-19 is less common in these outdoor spaces where we have good ventilation. But the concern is, of course, the rapidly rising numbers of the Delta variant that are causing the cases of COVID-19. This is the more highly transmissible variant that can cause more infections, more disease, more hospitalizations. And so it is a concern. And so we're closely watching these numbers. If people don't always congregate outside, the weather was rainy. I'm sure there were a lot of gatherings that happened indoors, which is sitting where we can see more efficient spread of the variant. Be that as it may, I am cautiously optimistic that we can keep our numbers low.
Okay, so actually, I was going to turn to you, Dr. Wright, with one of my questions, but the phone lines are just filling up fast. So if you don't mind, Dr. Wright, I'll give you the first question on the phones and we'll go straight to them now. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Sarah is on the line in Waltham. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, I have two children who are under the age of 12 and I am vaccinated, as is my husband. And I was wondering how worried I should be about still spreading COVID to them.
Dr. Wright.
So it's a very good question, but I think you and your husband have done the best protection that you can by getting vaccinated yourselves, and so that you will be less likely to acquire COVID, and even if you do, less likely to asymptomatically transmit COVID to them. I think it would be important, as it is for everyone in crowded settings, to continue to mask, especially with holidays and things that just pass by or big celebrations over the summer, and to try to gather outdoors, stay away from people who are sick, the same things that we've basically been doing throughout the pandemic, and then encouraging your children, if they're old enough, to wear a mask when they're out of doors, especially if they're around others who you're not sure of their vaccination status. But I think that you're in good shape and we should feel that we are doing the best that we can to protect our kids.
And before I go back to the phones, if you could just give us a 2 or 3 sentence update, Dr. Wright, on what we know about children, the current variants, and sort of level of risk of severity of illness and likeliness to get ill, symptomatically ill from these variants.
I think that we're still learning about pediatrics and COVID-19. The landscape is always shifting. And I think as more people get vaccinated, especially of teenagers, we're seeing hopefully less transmission even from siblings to younger children. It is true that we at least believe that children get, for the most part, less serious illness when they get COVID, if they do. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some children, especially those who might have immunocompromising conditions or other things that predispose them who may still wind up in the hospital. So I think that that's still something that we all need to take care about and not take for granted. But knowing that by as we get more and more people vaccinated in the Commonwealth, that we're doing the best that we can to protect them.
All right. Thank you. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-423-8255 to ask your question. We've got Elaine on the line in Plymouth. Elaine, you are on with the doctors. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a quick question. So what, in your opinion, is the percentage of the population that may see some breakthrough infection? I'm talking specifically about the vaccinated population.
Dr. Pierre, can you answer that?
Yeah, I know it's an important consideration to have, especially now that we're talking more about a more transmissible variant. What we are seeing so far in terms of breakthroughs in individuals who have been fully vaccinated is that less than 5% of those individuals who have been exposed are getting infected. So it may even be lower than that. And the majority of those individuals are experiencing no or minimal symptoms. In terms of breakthrough infections that lead to more severe disease or hospitalizations, we are vanishingly rarely seeing those. The low rate of breakthrough infection that we are seeing with individuals who are fully vaccinated, and that is even within the setting of more highly transmissible variants.
Great. 1-800-423-8255. We're just going to keep them in. We've got Paul on the line in Marshfield. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks. I hope I'm not repetitive, doctor, but I had a Johnson & Johnson vaccine in April. I've heard a lot about Delta variant. So what are my concerns? What should I do to kind of keep safe if I'm vaccinated but have the J&J vaccine?
Thanks for that call, Paul. And Dr. Wright, I'm going to have some follow-up questions probably on this, but just we have noted as we've been doing these Ask the Doctors over the last couple of weeks that most of the research we've seen involves two-dose vaccines and their efficacy with the Delta variant. And of course, J&J is a one-dose vaccine that is of a different formulation than Pfizer and Moderna. So just that context for our listeners, and then I'll turn to you for the answer there.
So I think this is something that we're still learning about, and I know that J&J has recently started a trial to look at this, and as has a branch of the NIH. But right now, we don't have any data that would tell us that a booster shot would be indicated or what dose, what brand of booster shot to get and what the side effects would be. So I think outside of a research study, this would not be something that would be indicated for now. The J&J vaccine has done very well against the B.1.1.7 variant, as well as most COVID in the United States. It's definitely something to think about what additional strategies might be as we see increasing amounts of Delta variant in the United States. But I think that the traditional measures of prevention are what the best thing to stick with is for now, and to follow the science as it evolves to see. It may be that we all need boosters at some point and not just people who had J&J.
So just to clarify, Dr. Wright, and I'm mindful of this also because we're aware that at least in the early days with J&J, the thought was the promise there is it might be able to be a particular service to harder to reach populations where storage of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, for example, was more difficult. So having clarity here, it feels like is really important, especially as we reach into the harder to convince populations for vaccination. Do we have any clinical reason to believe that the J&J vaccine is less effective in being protective against the Delta variant than Moderna or Pfizer?
I think we just don't have the data yet. And, you know, having a vaccine is better than not being vaccinated. And I think for those hard to reach populations, it's more important to get most of the population vaccinated so that no one is being exposed to virus that may be transmitted from unvaccinated persons. And that protects all of us. You know, I think that we need to consider what side effects are and whether there is evidence that shows that boosters are necessary for particular vaccines. But we're just not there yet.
Okay. And I'm going to turn back to you now, Dr. Pierre, for the next question. It's Esther in Sudbury. Esther, go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to know what percentage of people testing positive with the Delta variant are fully vaccinated and past their 2-week period from their second vaccination.
So I think, Esther, you're asking about the percentage of breakthrough cases specifically of the Delta variant. Is that correct? Is that your question? I think we must have lost Esther. I think that was her question, Dr. Pierre. I'll turn to you.
Sure. I think this is also a really good question just to know, you know, what the relative risk of these breakthrough infections in the setting of being fully vaccinated would be. Unfortunately, I don't think we have great information about what percentage of those breakthroughs with the Delta are in fully vaccinated individuals, and furthermore, whether they were individuals who were fully vaccinated with Moderna or Pfizer or J&J. What we do know is that it does seem, many of the drug makers have already done studies looking at efficacy of response against the Delta variant. And what they found was that there was, for the mRNA vaccines, about 85 to 88% efficacy against the Delta variants, and a little bit lower with the Johnson & Johnson, about 60%. But what we have seen is that regardless of the type of vaccine you were receiving, all of the vaccines seem to be equally effective in preventing severe consequences, severe outcomes with the Delta variant. So that includes hospitalization and death. And so we have very, very, very low, you know, it's incredibly rare, as we've talked about, to have a fully vaccinated person have sustain these severe complications. The overall majority of people with severe outcomes with COVID, including with the Delta variant, are people who are unvaccinated. So unfortunately, I don't have an exact number, but we know that if you are fully vaccinated, you have an excellent chance of avoiding infection with the Delta variant and an even better chance of avoiding severe complications.
And okay, so just very briefly, Dr. Pierre, I just want to draw out, I believe what you're saying in part is that we certainly do see there is a significant difference in severity of illness, hospitalization, and potential death for those who are unvaccinated versus those who receive any of the vaccines currently available in the United States. Basically, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. I'm mindful that we were for a long time on Ask the Doctors talking about vaccinations. Now we have a variant that we're concerned about again, and yet keeping an eye on the vaccine ball, as I know the two of you are for us in your answers, feels like it's an important part of this as well. All right, I'm going to go to Stella in Canton. Stella, go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have had COVID once, I think potentially twice. And the issue that I have is I really can't get any definitive answer as to whether that qualifies as having had a vaccine. When you in fact get the actual virus, why is the issue of people who have had COVID and survived it not being addressed in terms of vaccinations?
Thanks, Stella. And I know we've had this question on Ask the Doctors before, so I'm going to turn straight to Dr. Wright for an answer.
I think that we are learning about immunity and how it might differ or not between people who have had natural illness and development of immunity versus those who have had a vaccine and whether one is more long lasting than the other. The current recommendations are, even if you have had COVID, that you should get vaccinated as well. You can wait for the 90 days to be up and certainly should be out of your period of isolation before you get vaccinated. But because we don't know, and also because the vaccine could act as that second vaccination for you, similar to a two-shot series with Pfizer or Moderna, that is still recommended.
Okay, let's see if we can get one more quick question in here at least. 1-800-423-8255. Janet's on the line in Martha's Vineyard. Janet, go ahead.
Hi. My blacksmith was recently admitted to the Martha's Vineyard Hospital, and they felt they couldn't deal with him. He was sent to Falmouth to a pulmonologist. He ended up having a bronchoscopy and some other tests. He was recently vaccinated, and he's in his 30s. And I heard on the radio, I believe it was your station, that some of these young people, not a lot, are getting something called myocarditis. Could you explain what that is and why that would happen?
Thank you for that call, Janet. We have a brief time for an answer. Dr. Pierre?
Sure. Yes. So myocarditis is an inflammation of the lining of the heart. It is something that we are seeing potentially with these vaccines, specifically the mRNA vaccines. in these cases, in almost all the cases that have been reported, this is really manifested by some chest pain, shortness of breath. These episodes are very mild, very rarely requiring hospitalization, and pass within a matter of days to a few weeks. So they are not seen to be fatal or causing severe complications the way that COVID might. So something that is real and is currently being investigated, but not a reason to not get the vaccine.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Pierre. So we have about a minute left. So rather than go back to the phones, I'm going to stay with the two of you. We did have one caller who was confused a little bit about whether children who are unvaccinated are safe outdoors with other kids, given the Delta variant. So Dr. Wright, could you just kind of give us a closing answer on that from one of our callers?
Sure. So outdoors is really safer for all of us. It's a big open space with a lot of ventilation. And it makes it harder for us to catch things from others. The sunlight also helps. So the warm weather is in our favor here. I think that as long as the kids are with other kids who are asymptomatic and vaccinated, if they're of an age where they can be vaccinated, but if not, that they are, all healthy as far as one can tell, then I think that that is the safest place for them to be together. Small groups indoors, if everyone's asymptomatic, should be okay too. But if you're going to be somewhere in large groups, like an amusement park or a big party, then wearing masks might be the safest for them.
All right. That's Dr. Sharon Wright, Chief Infection Prevention Officer at Beth Israel Lahey Health. And we also have Dr. Cassandra Pierre of Boston Medical Center. Thanks, both of you. Appreciate it so much for doing Ask the Doctors today.
Thanks for having me.
Great to be here.